How many of you at one point in your life heard something like this? What are you worried about? If you haven't done anything wrong, then there's no need for you to worry. And yet, there has been times in our lives when we were worried about something that was out of our control. And worrying did not help us one bit. An old fable is told about a man who came face to face with the dangers of worry one morning when he saw death walking towards a city. The man asked death, "What are you going to do?" And death said, "I'm going to take 100 people." And the man said, That's horrible. And death said, "Well, that's what I do. That's just the way it is." And so the man ran ahead to the city and warned everyone about death's plan. And that evening, he met death once again. And he said, "You told me that you were only going to take 100 people. Then why is it that 1,000 died?" And he said, "I was true to my word. I only took 100, and worry took the rest." You know, only 8% of our worries are actually over legitimate things. Dr. Walter Cavert, he did a study and he discovered these things about worry. 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of our worries concern the past. 12% of our worries are needless worries about our health. And 10% of our worries are insignificant or minor. We spend 92% of our emotional energies being worried or anxious over things that won't happen or things we just can't change. And Martin Lloyd Jones, he pointed out, the result of worrying about the future is you are crippling yourself in the present. And so now I draw your attention to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9 as we do a topical study on shaking off worry. And here Paul gives us the keys to shaking off worry. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and have received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." What is worry? Well, the Greek word translated anxious in our King James Version, you see it written as careful in verse 6. It means to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in a different direction, and we feel pulled apart. Our English word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle or to choke. And so here, Paul, he gives us the keys to having victory over worry. And the keys are, and he spells them out, and we're going to look at them more in depth, but to just throw them out there for you to catch them, he tells us in order to overcome worry, we have to do these three things. Number one, we need to pray right. Number two, we need to think right. And then number three, we need to live right. We need to pray right. Paul tells us, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And if we're going to pray, it's important that we pray right. It's possible that you and I can pray wrong. James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 3, Even when you ask or even when you pray, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And so people can pray but have the wrong motives in their prayers. Sometimes when we're worried or we're preoccupied, we're afraid. We're afraid of how things are going to affect us. At least that's how it is with me. I'm concerned on how I'm going to look or how it's going to affect me or what I'm going to have to suffer. It's all about me when I'm worrying. But really, as a Christian, it should all be about God's will. And so if I'm praying and being preoccupied about me, and my motives are to protect me, or that I may gain things for my own benefit, then I need to check my heart. That's not praying right. We have to pray according to God's will. And so how do we do that? How do we pray right? Well, verse 6, Paul tells us again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so he says, you can look at it this way, be anxious for nothing. Let your requests be made known unto God. But here's how, here are the details of how making your requests known unto God looks like. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. I like to present them to you this way. Here are three things that you and I must do to pray right. Number one, adoration. Number two, alteration. And number three, appreciation. The first thing he says is pray or adoration. Did you know that that word prayer is a very general word, but it's strongly connected with that of worshiping God? You know, worship is a form of prayer, adoring God. So the first step in praying right is begin to adore the Lord. Are you worried this morning about something? Has anxiety got your heart? The first step in overcoming that anxiety, if you have no reason to be anxious, you have no real legitimate thing going on, and yet you're gripped with worry and fear. The first thing is to start adoring the Lord. And what you do when you adore the Lord, for me, it looks like this, sounds like this. God, you are awesome. There's no one like you. You're holy in all your ways. Everything you think is right. Everything you've done, everything you do is right. You're all powerful. There's nothing too difficult for you. You know everything. You know every detail. You're everywhere. You're present. You're very present. You're holy and pure. You are my God. And you just start to adore the Lord. And then as you begin to adore the Lord, what does that do to a troubled heart? When God becomes greater than the trouble, then the trouble is not as troubling, huh? And that has a way of altering the heart. You know, he says supplication with prayer and supplication. The word supplication is really connected to the idea of the attitude behind the request. And it's connected to the word of humility, the thought of humility, a humble attitude. And so we come, we adore the Lord, and as we adore the Lord, it seems to, for me, when I put everything else aside and I just focus on the Lord and adore Him, it puts things in perspective. Doesn't that for you? It just, worshiping the Lord has a way of putting things in perspective, and then it starts to alter my heart. And I take all those cares and concerns and I start to put them on the altar as my heart begins to be altered. Because oftentimes when I'm worried, I'm not thinking right. I'm not thinking right. I'm not really walking in faith. I'm not seeing God for who He is and that He is greater than all the cares and all the concerns. And so I start to just focus on him, you start to focus on him, and then you start to feel your heart being changed, your attitude being changed, and you gain that right spirit. And that's so important when we approach God. God is holy, and he desires that when we approach him with the right spirit, the right attitude, the idea of humility, coming to him knowing that he can do whatever we ask. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. But if we don't have the right heart, the right attitude, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. And so from adoration to alteration, then comes appreciation. He says, with thanksgiving. And that requires faith. See, once you worship God and you adore him and your heart begins to be humbled by him, and by that time of worship, the things aren't as big, you can start to thank him in advance for how he's going to take care of you, how he's going to take care of it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, you've already redeemed me. Thank you for protecting me all these years. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you, God, you're so faithful. Thank you for being present. Thank you, Lord, that you're merciful. I was getting so worried and preoccupied and anxious over nothing. Really, it was just nothing. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving me your peace. And that's what he says when we pray right. He says that the peace of God, it guards our hearts and minds. So how do you know if you're praying right? Well, that's the answer. How do I know if my prayers are effective? You know that your prayers are effective when it results in a protected heart and mind. Now, a little illustration. I must have been about 8 years old, and at that time, I was living in Long Beach, California. I was going to school, and I was in the playground of the school, and this was after school was let out. And the playground was very close to the school. I could see the school entrance. It was just feet away. And so I was playing in the playground, and then these two kids, they were much bigger than I, and they didn't go to the school. They must have went to the high school or a different school. They came up, and you could just sense. You know how you could sense in your spirit when trouble is about to happen? I just had that feeling, and it all happened so quick, and one of them came up to me, and he saw that I had a wallet in my back pocket, and he says, "Give me your wallet." And I wasn't going to give up my wallet, you know. I had a Japanese $10 bill in there, and to an 8-year-old, that's something special. And I got that from a captain of a ship when I went on this trip in California. Anyway, I'll spare you all the details, but I was not going to give up my wallet. So I saw that door, and I bolted for the door. And I went, grabbed the door, and the door was locked. And so I start banging on the door and banging on the door. And the kids came up, and one of them started putting his hand in my pocket. And as soon as he started to put his hand in my pocket, one of the teachers came out, and you know how they have the windows that you could see right through? And when they saw her, boom, they took off running. You know, and in a sense, you know, the threat was there, but the teacher, she came and she protected me. Just her presence. And that's how peace is. You know, there's always a threat of worry, that choke holds you is always there. But the peace of God comes to protect our hearts and our minds. Now, a few scriptures I want to pass out to you. You can jot these down. Psalm 29:11. For those of you who may have a troubled heart this morning, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And maybe you might want to write these down and think about them when you have some time with the Lord and meditate on these scriptures as you seek his face. Now listen, after getting up, from being prayed up, you have to think up. There's more to shaking off worry than just praying right. There's the second thing in shaking off worry, and that is thinking right. You know, worry is like an illness that targets and affects the mind. Warren Wiersbe said, "We must realize that thoughts are real and powerful. Even though they cannot be seen, weighed, or measured, we must bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The discipline of right thinking is an emphasis in Scripture. And in verse 8, Paul tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or anything that is excellent, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, there's basically two things that he mentions here if you want to just narrow it all down. Whatever is good, meditate on those things. See, when we're worried, generally we think about all the negative things. All the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for us mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It has a way of holding us back, of hindering what God wants to do in our lives. And yes, you and I do have control over what we think. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes things happen. You're not expecting it. It hits you. It impacts you. It affects you. And you worry. You get anxious. That's natural. But a prolonged lifestyle of worrying is not healthy. And you and I have control over how we're going to respond to it. Something can happen, and then we start to think, you know what? I'm not happy about this, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to trust that God is going to do His will through it. And in the meantime, while I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to think right. I'm going to think about those things that are good. Think about those things that are true. Think about those things that are praiseworthy, those things that are excellent. I don't want to waste my time dwelling on things that are out of my control. I can't afford to do it. I have to discipline my mind. Remember, the spirit that we have, the spirit that God has given us, is not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. No Christian can afford to waste mind power on thoughts that hurt him or on thoughts that hurt others if these thoughts were shared. We must pray right. We must think right. But we must do what's right. If we're going to shake worry off, we need to live right. Now, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says in verse 9, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Just to give you a little bit of background, when Paul wrote this epistle, he was in prison. He was facing uncertain circumstances as far as his future was concerned. He was facing an uncertain future. And in addition to that, if you read chapter 1, Paul reveals that there were some Christians that were happy that he was in prison. Matter of fact, why don't we go ahead and turn there? This is Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 12. Now, what we want to look at is the thoughts of this man who's in prison who has a lot of reason to be worried, not sure what's going to happen. Why is he in prison? For preaching the gospel. There's tons of persecution going on at that time. And to preach the gospel, as it is in other places, but Paul, it could have been life or death. And we know that eventually it was. It resulted in Paul's death, him preaching the gospel. But at this time, he was in prison. If anybody, again, had any reason to be anxious and worried, it would be Paul. Now, Paul, he's a man just like you and I, and yet he's a model. He's an example for us. And so that's why he says the things that you've learned, you've heard, you've seen, you've received from me, in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. He's trying to help us out. And in verse 12, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." In other words, hey, Paul's got incarcerated for preaching the gospel. But he's doing what's right. He's in prison. We're still free. We're out here. We can preach the gospel. Let's preach the gospel. You know, they were not happy that Paul was in prison, but they were encouraged because of what he was going through. That encouraged the right motive in sharing the gospel even more. They got that boldness. And so in verse 15, he says, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill." He says, "The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." And then he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." Man, what an attitude, huh? He learned that there were some folks that were happy that he was in prison because for them, it's like, good, Paul's out of the picture. Now it's my time to shine. It's my time to be in the limelight. Their motivation was wrong. Perhaps when they were seeing Paul minister, in their minds they were thinking, I can do that. I want to be that. I like the attention. That's what they were thinking in their minds, perhaps. Obviously, something wasn't right, and it was their motivation, and Paul knew that. Imagine being in prison and thinking some of your brothers and sisters are thinking that way of you. But you know what? Because he prayed right, he thought right, and he lived right, he had the power to overcome all the current situations that he was facing. And he was able to focus on the good. I mean, he lived what he preached. And so there's a lot of negative things to focus on, but he focuses on the good. And he says, listen, whether it's in pretense, whether the motives are wrong, or whether they're doing it out of the right heart, the message is right. The message is right. They're preaching the gospel. And you know what I'm going to focus on? I can't do anything. I'm here in prison. I can't do anything. So I'm going to focus on what's right. At least the gospel is being preached. And so the last thing I want to share concerning Paul's circumstances is that in spite of his personal circumstances, he writes this letter of encouragement. That's powerful. And so he says, listen, the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, live these out. And so these are examples for us to follow, a pattern for us to follow. It's important for us to do what's right in spite of how we feel. You know, you could pray right. And then after you're done praying, you could start training your mind and getting that disciplined mind. But then comes living right, doing what's right in spite of what you feel or what you've felt. and following through. Oftentimes, we would like to just withdraw or not do what's right. When push comes to shove, we revert to doing what's not right. And if we're going to complete or be complete, that is, have the peace of God guarding us and the God of peace guiding us, then we have to pray right, think right, and live right. Now, a parable is told of a farmer who owned a mule, an old mule, and the mule fell into the farmer's well. The farmer heard the mule braying. After carefully assessing the situation, the farmer felt sorry for the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened and asked them to help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Initially, the old mule was hysterical. But as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling and the dirt hit his back, a thought struck him. It suddenly dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he could shake it off and step up. This is what the old mule did, blow after blow. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. He repeated to encourage himself, and no matter how painful the blows or distressing the situation seemed, the old mule fought panic and worry and just kept right on shaking it off and stepping up. It wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall of that well. What seemed like it would bury him actually ended up blessing him, and all because of the manner in which he handled his difficulty. So now, how are you going to handle your worry? You have just heard the Word of God, and you have to respond to it. If you are a believer, to hear the Word of God, know that you have a problem with worrying, and God wants to help you. And if you hear the Word of God and you don't do anything, you don't respond properly, that would be very wrong of you. And so what I want to do is I want to close by just giving you this challenge. Resolve to shake worry off. You can do it. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble today. You don't need to be worrying about tomorrow. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You know, you can change your mind, you can change your feelings by thinking right. It is very possible. And even though you may be bombarded with something, and it's a battle, you can still make a bad situation much better by thinking right. You know, when I had a membership at the gym in Brockport, that is the college gym, there would be mornings when I would go and I would look at that stair climber and I would think, oh, I don't want to do this. 30 minutes, I just don't want to do it. And then I'd get on there, I'd type in my weight, look at that, and that was discouraging. And I type in, you know, the level of intensity. And say, ugh. You know, and then how long I was going to go. And the whole time I'm thinking, after like, you know, 2 minutes, I'm going to quit. 3 minutes, oh, this is horrible. And then I say, well, let me put something on. Let me listen to a teaching. And I'm on there. Next thing you know, because I'm now taking my thoughts and putting them on something else, before you know it, I'm not so emotionally, or I'm not as bothered by what I'm doing, that feeling that, oh, this is terrible, this is horrible, just goes away. Next thing you know, 30 minutes has passed, and I got so blessed because I started to cause my mind to be entertained by something very different. You can be going through something that you don't like. I know that that's a very simplistic illustration, but it's so true. You could be going through something you don't like, refocus your direction on something else, and before you realize it, you don't even realize that you had any trouble or that it was as big of a deal as you felt it was. How many times you were bummed out or discouraged about something, and you were just, and somebody comes and shares something with you that gets your mind off of it, that's really exciting, and then next thing you know, for those 4 or 5 minutes, you were like worry-free. You were happy. And then they leave and you go right back to it. Yes, you and I can control how we think and how we feel. And so here's the challenge. Take time today to spend with the Lord so you can pray. Undistracted time. Those of you who are struggling and this message is for you and you're thinking, wow, this is for me. For the rest of you, it could be next week. Or you can use this to help someone else. And so take time to set aside just to seek the Lord's face. Bring your Bible. And go in that closet, so to speak, with the mindset that I'm going to forget about myself and I'm going to magnify you, God. And I'm going to wait on you until you alter me. Until you bring me to a place of humility where I can humble myself before you, my mighty God, and wait for you to lift me up. And I'm going to thank you. Well, take some time to adore the Lord. Don't bring your phone. Don't bring your tablet. Don't bring any of those things that can distract you. If you got to go for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours and lock yourself up, do it. Until you feel the peace of God protecting your mind and your heart. And then come up with a plan to discipline your thinking. Come to the fact that you don't think right. Admit it, I don't think right. I let my mind wander about all these things that are outside of my control. It's not healthy. I'm going to start to focus my attention on thinking right. Get 2 or 3 scriptures and put them on an index card. And every time those thoughts come, focus on the Word of God. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on thee. If your mind is fixed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. And then don't fail to do what's right. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to do what's right regardless of what may come. I'm not going to try to protect myself. I'm not going to just kind of go in hiding. I'm not going to withdraw from the fellowship. I'm not going to withdraw from people. God wants me to love. God wants me to do what's right. God doesn't want me paralyzed and do what's right. For some, the reason why you may feel the way you feel is because you are abusing things, medication. There could be a whole list of things. Or for some of you, you might not be feeling right in your word because you're not doing what's right. And because you're not doing right, maybe you have an issue of the heart and you're not dealing with it, well, your emotions are working. They're working just fine. Do what's right and your emotions will feel, eventually you'll feel right. So whatever it is that you need to do, you know. You resolve to take care of the matter. If it's throw them away, I don't need them anymore. I needed them for a season, but now I'm fine. I need to get rid of this. You know, I'm not doing this. I got this going on in my heart. It's not a medication issue. It's an issue of the heart. And I got to deal with this. I can't just keep putting it off and putting it off because it's eating me up inside. Or there might not be nothing. You're just prone to worry. I'm that way. I'm prone to worry about things that are outside of my control. And I'm learning. I'm still learning that when those times come and worry comes to try to choke me, I have to stop and say, oh, praise you, Jesus. You're so merciful and kind. There's no one like you. Nothing surprises you. You can take care of everything because of who you are. You're God. You're creator of heaven and earth. There's nothing too difficult for you. Lord, I humble myself and you're mighty before you. I put my life in your hands. And I'll just wait on you. I know that you're going to encourage me. 92% of what I'm thinking is not going to happen. So, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to pray and leave it in your hands. Oh, thank you, God. I already know you're going to take care of it. Thank you. I already start feeling better. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the thought will come, and I say, I'm not going to think like that. I'm going to think that. That's not true. That's the enemy. That's not true. He's the father of lies. I'm not going to dwell on those things. And then next thing you know, the temptation to do something that's not right comes. And I think to myself, you know what? No, I need to do the right thing. I want to run. I want to hide myself. I want to be in isolation. I can't. I need to do the right thing. I need to be out there with God's people. Or I need to be out there with, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's home, I need to do what's right. I need to live this out. I need to focus on those things that are good. And this, listen, in closing, the scriptures promise that if we do these things, the peace of God, again, will guard us, and the God of peace will guide us. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, your love, your truth, your kindness. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, and you've called us your sons and daughters to live for your glory and honor. And Lord, as we live for you, you who are the God of peace, you give us peace to guard our hearts, to protect our minds, and you are with us to guide us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your word that gives us the keys to shaking worry off. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you are not a believer and you try to put these things into practice, you won't. You won't be able to. Because you have to be spiritual. You have to be born again in order to experience the help of God. Now, don't get me wrong, God can help you, but the first way he helps you, if you're not a believer, in overcoming your anxiety and worries, is by saving your soul. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the first step for you is to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Jesus is God's Son. He is the Savior of the world. He came on a rescue mission, and he died on the cross for our sins. And for those of you who are here this morning who don't know Christ personally, he wants you to know that he loves you. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God wants you to believe in him. God wants you to forsake your sin, and he wants you to turn to him. And so, as we close this service, this is a very personal moment between you and the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than just take a minute and respond to the gospel message. And the way to do that is by acknowledging that you are a sinner, admit that you are a sinner, that you've sinned against God, believe that Jesus is the Savior, that he came, he died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. and receive Christ. Confess your sin to him and receive him. And in these final moments, now you have your opportunity to do just that. I'm going to pray, and as I pray for you, you can make that commitment to Jesus Christ right now. And Lord, I thank you for your word and for how you desire to save. You came to seek and save that which was lost. And there are those here in this room now, they know that they don't know you. But yet they don't want to live the way that they've been living. They want to turn to you. They want to live for you, Jesus. And so, God, I pray that you would help them and strengthen them. As even right now, they are speaking with you and making that commitment to you, God. Lord, I pray that you would hear their prayer. Give them the gift of your Holy Spirit. And help them. Help them to walk worthy of the call. Bless them. Now, for those of you who want to make that commitment to Christ, or you've just made that commitment to Christ, there's a few things that are very important for you to do from this point forward. The first thing is read the Bible. It's important to read the Scriptures. Get the Word of God in you. You could start reading the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John reveals who Christ is. The second thing is develop a prayer life. It's important for you to begin to talk to God on a regular basis, just like you just did while you were praying and asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins. The third thing is important to continue to be in fellowship. It's very important to be around other believers, people who are of the same faith, the same mind, and desiring to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and will keep you accountable, and you can be accountable too. And so you do these things, and you'll grow. You'll grow strong. And then tell somebody. Tell somebody that you made a commitment to Jesus Christ today. You can tell me after service, or you could tell whoever you came with, or you could tell someone outside of here. But make sure that at some point today, you tell somebody, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. God bless you.